Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Exodus, starting with chapter 24. In the wilderness, the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountaintop and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for your instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us till we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went on up the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here ends the lesson. And from Matthew's gospel, he tells us how Jesus, like Moses, had a mountaintop experience. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. This is the good news of the gospel. As I said earlier, this is a special day in the church's liturgical calendar. It's the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. On Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, Lent begins. As you know, Epiphany is a season that begins with the visit of the Magi and the baptism of Jesus. Epiphany celebrates Jesus' earthly ministry and his manifestation as God's Son. Through Jesus' life, his miracles, his healing, his teaching, we are shown our own potential as human beings made in the image of God, and infused we are with God's Spirit. So as we become acquainted with Jesus, listening to his words, watching what he does, and experiencing his presence and power in our daily lives, the possibility of our own lives become larger and clearer. Epiphany is truly an encouraging season, showing us what happens when the Word becomes flesh, when God's Spirit is on us, and God's glory is manifest in human form. But Lent. The season of 40 days and 6 Sundays before Easter, it focuses our attention on Jesus' suffering and death. It asks us to reflect not only on God's mercy, but also upon our sin. Lent is the season that reminds us of the darker side of human nature, our capacity for evil, our indifference to suffering, our self-indulgence and self-righteousness, our fascination with and fear of death. Lent is a sobering season, exposing our illusions and confusions, our foibles and our frailties. If Epiphany can be characterized as a season of ahas about Jesus and ourselves, Lent might be called the season of oh no's about Jesus and ourselves. So to highlight and help make this necessary transition between Epiphany and Lent, from aha to oh no, we have the story of Jesus' transfiguration. The transfiguration is not easy to understand, but the gospel writers thought it was very important. It appears in all three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The church has also considered transfiguration to be a key event in Jesus' life. It is always the text appointed to be read today on the last Sunday of Epiphany. The transfiguration has been considered of singular importance for a very long time, so we should pay close attention to it as we make our transition from Epiphany to Lent. Something happened up there on that mountain long ago. It happened after Peter's insight and confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And if you remember, Jesus followed on Peter's confession with a confession of his own, namely that he would suffer many things at the hands of the religious authorities and be killed and raised on the third day. And Peter, speaking for all the disciples, refused to accept Jesus' prediction of his own suffering and death. But Jesus made a point of saying that those who wanted to follow him would have to deny themselves and take up their own crosses, losing their lives for his sake in order to find their lives. All this arguing happened just before Jesus took a core of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on that high mountain, apart from the rest, for a prayer retreat. And then it happened. Suddenly, before their very eyes, Jesus takes on an appearance of great intensity. His face begins to glow. A kind of aura surrounds him, and as the text says, his face shone like the sun. And beside him appear Elijah and Moses. And then a voice, just like at his baptism, speaks those same words. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then, before their very eyes, the disciples saw that face of Jesus change. And in turn, they were changed. The experience shook the three disciples. For once in his life, Peter is speechless, and all three are shaking like a leaf. As the text says, they fell on their faces and were filled with fear. What happened? Well, there's a lot of rich symbolism here in terms of Moses, Mount Sinai, the Exodus, Elijah, Isaiah, the Feast of Tabernacles, and even some foreshadowing of Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I'd like to suggest that this story is not about what happens to Jesus so much as it is about what happens to the disciples. What changed up there on the mountain was not so much Jesus himself as the disciples' perception of Jesus, their understanding of who Jesus was and what his mission was about. From that time on, the three disciples saw Jesus, their leader, quite literally in a different light. You know, most of the time we look at people, even those quite close to us, but do not really see them. But sometimes that changes, and the change can be pretty dramatic. Can you think of someone you thought you knew pretty well? But when at some point something happens, something extraordinary, and in that moment, the other person reveals something about him or herself that you'd never seen before. Perhaps a depth of character, a shining facet of their personality. Sometimes it's just a little fact that they happen to reveal, a special interest they have, a hidden talent, or an experiencing of suffering that they endured. A bit of their background you learn that doesn't fit into their current circumstance. But sometimes this perception-changing event comes when we actually witness another person becoming unexpectedly courageous in the midst of a crisis or trauma. Perhaps they showed a capacity for tears, or the strength to stand up with dignity to someone who is trying to strip it away. Perhaps it's a moment when someone felt strong enough not to be defensive about some shortcoming, some failure, or some omission. Or maybe it was when someone stopped being silent in the face of cruelty or ignorance, or someone who came out of his or her shell and began to take an active interest in the world around them. Sometimes this change in perception comes from just having a real conversation with someone else, a conversation that reveals the humanity and the vulnerability of another human being. Suddenly, that person becomes different in our eyes, more complex, more three-dimensional. That person becomes extraordinary. It's not just that our perceptions of that person are changed, but life itself, its possibilities and its meanings become transfigured. What we see in that transfigured person is a clearer picture of what we human beings are capable of becoming. We get a glimpse of God's glory, a human being fully alive. For example, think about President Jimmy Carter, now 98 years old, who just made public his decision to forego further medical treatment and to go into hospice care. Here's a man of power with access to the best medical care in the world. But he declares his vulnerability and his faith, believing as St. Paul declared, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Saying that, Jimmy Carter is transformed. The experience of Jesus' transfiguration comes as we try to wrestle with and understand the meaning of our lives in the midst of suffering and death. It's a vision of glory in the midst of harsh realities of life. We need such a vision when we become blinded by the dark activities we read about in the newspapers and see on TV. I'll never forget an experience I had one wintry day during a heavy snowstorm several years ago. As I was walking down the block, I saw an old VW Beetle coming down the street as the snow continued to fall heavily. Something was a bit odd about the car as it came toward me. In fact, it looked like somebody was hanging out the window on the driver's side of the car. So I kept staring in the snow, trying to figure out what was going on. Then I realized the person hanging out the window was the driver of the car. And what he was doing was manually operating the broken windshield wiper to keep the window clear enough so that he could see out of it. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a real parable of life. Working like crazy to keep our windshields clear enough to see where we're going in the midst of life's storms. We need to see in dark times, don't we? Not just to look at anything, though. We need to see the glory of God in our lives, our work, our community, and in this congregation. A chance to experience, if only for a brief moment, the larger picture of what's going on. The opportunity to glimpse not just at the pavement right in front of us, but at the horizon far away where we're headed. We need a vision in the midst of our everyday lives, something that will place in perspective our daily activity and routine. But more than this, we need a vision that will sustain us through suffering and death. We need a sense of the kingdom of God in our midst, especially when we begin to feel as though the only kingdoms operating are the blemished earthly ones. We need a sense of the presence of someone who loves and cares for us, who understands our pain, our fears, and our deep sadness. We need to know that there is more to life, that healing is possible, that forgiveness can happen, that change can take place, and that we can begin again, and that death does not have the last word, that love is stronger than death. We need that kind of vision. And that's what's happening to those three disciples up there on the mountain. There in the midst of the night, the light of God's presence is shining in their face through the face of Jesus, shattering the darkness. They glimpsed God's glory and their lives took on new meaning. Jesus' transfiguration deepened the disciples' faith in him and ultimately their faith in God. And that's the hope for us as well. When we get a glimpse of God's glory, Christ becomes a very real presence, transforming our lives and our faith. With clearer eyesight, Jesus becomes a living companion, ready to walk with us, to carry us, to share our lives, to be present in suffering and in joy, to empower and encourage, to heal and transform. A glimpse of glory reveals a living Christ whose obedience to God took him down the road to Jerusalem and before the chief priest, to be sentenced to death, to die for our sins and be raised for new life in a profound act of mercy and reconciliation. Transfiguration is a transition event that prepares us for our Lenten journey about to begin. It gives us a vision of glory that can sustain us not only day to day, but through great times of suffering and even death. It gives us the courage to face the future with the knowledge and the assurance that come what may, God loves us and God will always be with us. Let this glimpse of God's glory, the transfigured Jesus, strengthen and encourage you to embrace the lessons of Lent and to sustain you as individuals and as a congregation as you move forward into the hope of Christ's resurrection. May it be so for you and for me. And now let us stand and say a part of what we believe. Thank you.